set him up here for you. Alright, keep him right here. Alright, look at me. Everybody look. Who do we look at while we're singing? Do you look out there? No. Who do you look at? Point again. Keep looking at me, right? So if we change something. Right? Yep. And keep looking at me, right? Can you scoot this way? I don't know if she can hear, but scoot her this way. And then you stand right behind her. Even more, even more. Come this way, even more. You come this way. Good. Now there's room for you two right here. Guys, if you want to come down here. These two right here. Come right down here. Come on down. Come on down. There you go. And you can stand right behind her. That'd be great. All right. Did you fall? Can you scoot up, sweetie? There we go. Buddy, get on this side of the wood there. Good? You guys scoot up. Look at me. Look at me. Now look. We're going to go ahead and sing that song we practiced 2 weeks ago. You guys think you remember that?
What song?
Sink in sin and shame, just call on Jesus' name. You're the reason that he came. It was a rescue mission for you and me. A humble, a rugged cross, a Calvary. He conquered death, and true life he has given.
To welcome everybody to Sunday school this morning. Like I said, it's good to be here.
I just want to say how thankful I am for all little kids and for the parents and the grandparents that bring their kids to Sunday school. It's a blessing to see how many's up here, and I'm proud of that, and I'm proud of my church. I'm thankful I got a place to go where I can bring my kids that one day hopefully they can seek salvation and get what I got. I'm just thankful to be here. I'm excited for the day. Let's just remember everything we got to do today, and that everybody's in their spot. And if God gives you something to do today, you just step out and do it. Wes, Neil Wireman, and Smith Sunday School.
Good morning, everybody. We desire your prayers. Pulled in the parking lot this morning. I looked at my wife and I said, well, let's go get this over with because I'm not feeling too good about this lesson this morning. She said, well, you say that every time you got to teach. But I'm just a little more nervous about this one than I usually am, but we'll do the best we can. Hopefully God will give us something to at least feel his spirit in. If I can feel him, then that's good enough for me. We're in the book of Matthew, chapter 15. Lesson starts at verse 21. And I think I would be okay to say that this is a real good lesson. What this lesson that it's just seven chapters or eight, 21 to 28, and what it says is just a real good lesson to all of us. I hope that I can get where I was the other day when I was studying this lesson. I got a real good blessing out of just studying some of it. And it just popped in my head a minute ago. Last night we went up to Continental to that benefit. And after church I was talking to Donnie Smith, and he was talking about studying the Bible and how he could study a scripture and get a real good blessing out of it. And then sometime later on, God give him that lesson to get up and preach. And he'd be able to get into that lesson or that scripture and preach real good and God move in it. He said, that's my double portion. He got a blessing out of studying it, and he got a blessing out of teaching it. And hopefully I can get myself out of the way and get to that point this morning and let God teach what he wants taught out of this lesson. But starting out verse 21, said, "Then Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon." Before this, I'm not sure where they were, but it says in the first verse of the chapter, says, "Then came to Jesus scribes and Pharisees, which were of Jerusalem." So the scribes and the Pharisees was questioning him. From what I read, I get the impression that they were pressuring Jesus and his disciples, and they were asking a lot of questions and trying to find fault. And I think that's why Jesus took his disciples and went where he did, to Tyre and Sidon. These were Gentile nations where they might have a little peace for a minute, be able to rest for a minute. The trying to think how I read that. The nations that they were, the cities were close together, about 30 miles, I think, but they were, there were Canaanites, and they'd been there for a long time, but they didn't have anything to do with the Jews. They were pretty much enemies of the Jews and had been since the time when the Jews first came into Canaan. But verse 22, this woman that was a Canaanite says, "And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with a devil." I don't know what she knew about God or what she knew about Jesus, but I believe probably his reputation preceded him through that country. When they seen him coming, they probably knew who he was because of the notoriety that surrounded him for doing miracles. I'd say probably if we had somebody that come through our country doing the kind of miracles that Jesus did, we'd probably hear about him long before he got here. And I think that's what happened here. Some of the commentary about her calling him son of David, some people think that she believed he was the Son of God, and that's why she used that. Others think that she knew the Jewish heritage, and that's why she used that, because she knew that's what they believed. Regardless of what she believed when she said that, verse 23 says, "But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, Send her away, for she crieth after us." This is where it gets tough. I think they went into that country, like I said, to find some peace, to get away from the Pharisees that was questioning them and trying to find fault in them. But I still think they were being followed. I believe there was a crowd on hand, at least hanging around to see if something was going to happen. And when she come hollering and begging of him to help her, the disciples said, "Send her away. She's making too much noise. She's drawing too much attention. People's going to start looking to see what's going on over here. Make her go away." That made me think of me. How many times have I had somebody question me. Maybe not asking for help so much, but questioning me about my Christianity, about my faith. And at work doing it, or at school doing it. And we just want them to go away. Don't cause a scene. I don't want to answer too many questions. I don't want people to think I'm weird or something. Just leave me alone. Or we'll have somebody that comes into church and sits down in the back that maybe don't fit our idea of who ought to be at church. And we just want them to go back where they came from and don't come back in here no more. That's where the disciples was at here. They wanted her to go away. She needed help. She needed Jesus. And the disciples wanted him to make her go away. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He wasn't sent here just for the Jews. He was sent here for all of us. And thank God he was. It says, then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. There was a time when I needed help, and all I needed was just the crumbs from the table. Even now, I'll go this far. Even now, coming into the church house as a child of a king, a lot of times I don't get clear up under the table and get the full meal, and that's my fault. But a lot of times, if I just get a little taste, that's good enough for me. I'm satisfied. This lady, this woman come to him and he said, it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. And her answer was, and she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table. I believe that she knew that this was somebody that could really make a difference in her life. I believe that she knew maybe more than what most of her countrymen knew. I believe there was something in her that recognized that this really was the Son of God. And says, then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I was reading some of the commentaries. When I'm studying these lessons, a lot of times I'll just Google stuff and see what other people have to say about it. And there was one, I don't remember if it was in this book or if it was one I read online. There was a commentary about this that said there was two places where Jesus commended Gentiles for their faith. It was this woman and the Roman centurion. It said, no greater faith have I found in Israel. And then there was this one and that one, and maybe one other one that were in the Bible that were examples of people being healed, and Jesus wasn't even in the area where that person that needed healed was at. It's incredible to me how it seems like, and you all can correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me like the Jewish people that Jesus healed and did miracles with was right there with him. But the Gentiles, a lot of them, or some of them apparently, was they come to him and they didn't bring their sick. Them fellows that carried their buddy on a bed and dropped him down through the roof, they took the sick person right to Jesus, said, "Here he is, fix him." The Gentiles went to him on their own and said, "Hey, I've got a sick person. I've got I need help for my son or daughter or whoever it might have been. They're at home and they need your help." That's where we're at today. We can bring our kids to church, but we can bring them to Jesus when we pray for them without them even being there. And know that he's going to do something about that. I thought about this verse 27. He said, "Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs which fall from their master's table." She knew that she needed help. She needed what Jesus could give her. And she knew that just a crumb was good enough. Just like the rich man that lifted up his eyes in hell, he just wanted a drop. Just one drop of water on his tongue. Because he knew that was all it would take to get him out of where he was. Obviously that can't happen, but for her it could. Just that one crumb was all she needed. Anybody got anything? I'm just kind of mumbling at the moment.
Faith. It said faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And my thought on that, she heard the gospel somewhere. I don't know how in the word. And that goes back to what I was teaching young people's class. And one of the most often questions that I got from the kids is how did the American Indians hear the gospel before the white man came here? And I said, I have no idea. I can't tell you that. But they did talk about the Great Spirit. I know that much. And God give them an opportunity some way. And same way with that woman. I don't know when or how she heard it, but God talked to her somewhere because she had faith.
Situation was exactly like that, or maybe it wasn't at all, but you know, she had a problem and she came wanting Jesus to address that physical problem.
Mm-hmm.
And he healed a lot of people, but when he was healing people and he was compassionate, his real goal was to try to point towards salvation. Because you can heal this body up, and we know he raised Lazarus, but Lazarus died again later naturally.
Right.
But there in verse 25, there seems to be a change in her approach. She came saying, "Help my daughter, help my daughter, help my daughter." But then in verse 25, she worshiped and said, "Lord, help me." And when she made that change and started asking for help for her, when we get down there to verse 28, he said, "Woman, great is thy faith." I think she got saved. Maybe she was saved before this, but if she was, certainly her focus was all on the natural. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, because, man, I've been there. If you've got, you know, somebody sick or in your family or something like that going on, that's going to be a lot of your focus. But I think during this conversation with the disciples and then with Christ, I think she got focused on what the real need was. And certainly the real need, we need to be saved and we need to be close to the Lord. That's what all of the healing really was pointing to, was salvation. And, you know, so he says, great is thy faith. Even there in verse 27, when she was saying, hey, I don't have to be sitting at the table. I'll be like one of the dogs on the floor. Just give me a crumb. So again, it's a great picture of being humble and being not putting yourself above somebody else. So great lesson.
Yeah, I was. I always think about that song your mom sung, "Feed your children, but give me the crumbs from the table," and then. I always think about what Israel, I believe it was Israel, said nobody's getting the crumbs. We're all sitting right up to the table with the master. But to be humble enough to be willing to just be a dog under the table, that's where we got to start. This woman, like he said, this woman... verse 25 says, then she came and worshiped him. And that kind of makes me think of when I got saved. I came to the altar. I had to get out of my chair and I had to come and worship him. And And like I say, I got wrote down here. Like us, she came believing that he could fix her problem. And she also at some point knew that there wasn't nothing she could do but beg for mercy for herself and her daughter. Anybody else got anything on it? And I did read one commentary said that when he said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel, one fellow said it wasn't clear whether that was said to the disciples or whether that was said to the woman. Yeah, but regardless of who it was said to, I believe they probably all heard it. It's and like you said, the desire to have a relationship with God is the key factor. I mean you see it all the time with social media and stuff like that nowadays. Every time somebody's got a problem in their life, they want to call the church, hey, pray for me, or they want to come to church and try to pray for themselves, or try to get on the altar and have God, ask God to help their problem in their life. And then as soon as that problem's fixed, they're nowhere to be found again. God's not a doormat. And he knows your heart. If you come to him just like this lesson, if this lady come to him, all she wanted was her daughter fixed, and then that was the last time he was ever going to hear from her, he would have just kept quiet and kept walking. But he knew her heart. And he knew that all she needed was a little help, a little nudge in the right direction, and she got there. She got where he needed her to be. And that would be saying, Lord, help me, like Blaine said. She got to that point where she wanted him to help her. And that's where we all had to get.
And his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. And I don't believe that means just the Jews.
Right.
I mean, he came to the Jews. And it said they didn't. That most of them didn't receive it. Maybe they were. Some of them got saved. But I believe from the beginning of the world. And a lot of people don't agree with this, but I believe from the beginning of the world, God's object was to save everybody. Because God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish. So it. Salvation was for everybody. And they had some problems between one nation and another, and that about casting your pearls before swine, you mentioned that. And God knows who's going to accept Him and who's not. And, but He gives them all a chance.
Right. Yeah, that's what... Somebody, I can't remember who it was now, but somebody years ago questioned me about preordination. And he said, well, if God knows everything, then He already knows everybody that's going to get saved. So that means He's already preordained who's going to get saved. No? That's not the case. I said, He already knows who's going to accept it, but He still offers it to everybody. So everybody has that chance. And we don't know what God knows. All we know is we've got to pray for what God puts on our heart to pray for. We've got to be a light to everybody we come in contact with that we get put on our heart to be a light to. We can't be like these disciples and say, this one's making too much of a scene, I don't want to be around this one. And sometimes it's hard not to feel like that. But if God gives us a burden for somebody, we need to be praying about that. If God gives us something to do, somebody to talk to that might take us a little bit outside of our comfort zone, that's okay. We need to do what God gives us to do. Anybody else got anything? Pretty much out. If nobody's got anything, we'll say thank you for your prayers.